This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, Bill and Alyssa from the Q Morning Show present Can't Read, Can't Write.
Welcome to Can't Read, Can't Write. It's Alyssa and Bill, our behind-the-scenes podcast, stuff you cannot hear on the radio show. That's why we do it here, on this behind-the-scenes podcast. And apologies again for not dropping a full episode last week. We needed some time to rest and recuperate.
I don't think anybody wanted it. I don't think anybody wanted to hear a whole episode of us like that.
No.
No.
I'm still not 100% sure who wants to hear this particular podcast now.
Hey, we've gotten some really nice words. We have. We appreciate everybody that tells us that they listen and that they enjoy it. Or even if you tell us that you listen but you hate it.
I know.
We just like to hear that people listen.
We just need more. We need more people to discover this podcast.
Greedy.
I mean,
I'm kidding.
I'm patient. I will give it time.
Yeah.
But I'm also running out of things to talk about.
Oh, geez. Well,
like on my can't read, can't write notes app that I have here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm running out of stuff. Like the list used to be bigger and now it's smaller. I keep taking things off of it.
You know, it would be a really fun one to talk about.
Hmm.
What were your go-to drinks in college? Because mine definitely changed through the years. At one point, though, it was Four Loko.
Okay. I'm writing that down. Go-to drinks. That actually might fit in well with, because I am planning my, and we'll do yours as well, my 21st birthday story.
Oh, yeah. Mine is going to be my 22nd birthday because my 21st wasn't very fun.
I'm timing out that episode with my actual birthday.
Okay. So that'll be coming out like next month.
And what pisses me off is I wrote down on this list watch parties with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation points after it.
Wow. You didn't tell me that it had that many exclamation points.
And I looked at it today and I'm like, why did I write down watch parties? Like, what was the point of that?
Yeah. Right when he said that, I was like, for what? He was like, I don't know.
Like, what episode would we talk about watch parties?
Watch parties where is what I'm wondering. Because like there's no watch parties in Kent that I know of.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, do you remember now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that could be a future episode.
You're just going to leave me hanging. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now I put something in there to help me remember more what that might be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on today's episode, we are going to tell you a legend. We're going to tell you about the legend of F.U. Bob.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. So we'll explain F.U. Bob.
And if you don't know, this is a great time to learn.
I was once told that every campus in the United States, every college campus, every university has their own version of F.U. Bob.
Really?
That's what I was told by somebody one time.
I don't... Yeah, I don't know. It might just be because I went to Kent.
Mm-hmm.
When I look up FU Bob, the first two that come up are about our FU Bob at Kent. Yeah. And then we have a Bob Fu. Bob FU. Mm. He's a Chinese-American pastor.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Yeah. Just a little flip-flop. And then Cleveland.com. Wow, okay.
They wrote an article about FU Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland.com?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to find out about all this stuff.
Yep, and it's right here. Most people knew him as FU Bob.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a fair warning here, though. Just a fair warning. Not giving anything away. It might tug at your heartstrings a little bit. Just gonna throw it out there.
Okay, well, I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't either.
I can't wait to get to it. What else is going on? Should we mention at all? Because we didn't really talk about it on the show that much, just because both Alyssa and I were both interested in the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary special.
Oh, yeah. So by the time this podcast comes out, that anniversary special will not have been this past Sunday, but the one before.
Right. And so we had the Monday off, so we both watched at least some of the special, part of the special on Sunday night.
I only watched half of it.
Okay. And then on the show on Tuesday, we kind of talked about it, but we figured there really wasn't, really wasn't going to help us to get in depth into the show. In the short amount of time that we have to talk about things on the show, we would never have been able to have the type of conversation about the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary special as we could have on this podcast. So I ask you, is it worth it at all to talk about the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary special right now? Or do you just want to skip it? It's over. You're not interested anymore. Are you going to go back to watch the rest of that episode, though?
I probably should. I know I missed some stuff. I missed about half of it. I caught like the first half. I did catch the Domingo, the closing out of the Domingo sketch. I thought that was very nice. A nice little bow on top.
Yeah, let's zoom out a little bit. And because if you're on the fence about watching this episode, like if you haven't watched it yet, I've been looking for people that have watched it.
That's the only thing is that, like, you and I think, are, like, the only people that I know that really like SNL.
Yeah.
Like,
so I've been searching for, like, who in my life has watched this and wants to discuss it, mm-hmm. and I haven't found many people.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. And I've been looking for podcasts as well from people that have been talking about mm-hmm. it, and I really haven't found many of those either.
Huh.
Here's what I'll say. If you're on the, if you kind of want to watch it one day, my perspective on the SNL 50th anniversary special, if you are really into SNL and the history of SNL and you have appreciation for the different casts and the years gone by and the decades gone by of this show, then I think that you'll have some sort of appreciation for it. If you are just a casual SNL watcher and you enjoy watching funny sketches on mm-hmm. YouTube occasionally, you're not going to like this special at all.
You can't go into it thinking that it's going to be like a normal SNL because it is most mm-hmm. certainly not. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that it's not good and it's not funny, but having the like history of the different sketches that they've done in the past, like the 80s, whatever, that will definitely help you to understand what's going on in the anniversary special.
And there's so many inside jokes.
Yes.
Let's talk about the sketches first. Like you mentioned Domingo.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that every single one of these sketches were not even intended to. I mean, there were funny moments in some of the sketches,
mm-hmm.
but I believe they were just intended to be parodies of the actual sketches.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was feeling too. Like they were parodying themselves.
Right. And so you talked about, well, let's talk about Black Jeopardy. So that is a sketch that they've done on the show
uh-huh.
many times. And I noticed that there was a lot of talk this week about the outrage of Tom Hanks being on the episode as the MAGA supporter
uh-huh.
and how people are like bent out of shape about that. It's been done.
I was going to say, this was from like way back. Like, this is not a new character.
Right. And it was well received the first time that he did it.
Right.
I'm not sure. I mean, I understand why they brought it back. I don't think it worked. And I think it probably is just more just where we are as a country right now. I mean, we've all, the election is over. We've all accepted the results. I don't think anyone's in the mood to go MAGA bashing right now. And that's why I think that with that crowd, I know it's a liberal crowd. I just don't think that anybody is really focused on that anymore.
I'll just be quiet. Zip my lips.
You don't agree with me? Like, I was just thinking that.
I don't. I think that a lot of people online are having a lot of fun right now.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that.
Oh,
like, I was just, it didn't go over very well with the audience, which you would have to agree that it's a liberal leaning audience with all of those celebrities and Hollywood people.
I was a little taken aback though, just because not that it was anything wrong with it. Again, just like the climate of the world right now, I was like, oh, they're going for it. Like,
but I think it's more of an indication of how it's more of a hard reality now that Trump is back in the White House. And I don't think that people are.
We're not ready to laugh about it.
It's very serious now.
Yeah.
It's not a funny thing anymore. It was maybe funny during the run up to the election. Excuse me. See, I'm not 100% yet. During the run up to the election, now it's not so funny anymore.
Right. Now it's like it hits a little too close to home.
That was my interpretation of why that sketch didn't work. It's also just interesting to me about how people are bent out of shape over it when it's already been done. Why weren't they bent out of shape 6 months ago?
Right. I don't know. But I agree. I think that it definitely could have stood on its own without that, but it didn't bother me. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, like, wow.
But I
love MAGA. Like,
I love seeing Eddie Murphy in that sketch, and his impersonation of Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Is incredible.
Oh my God. That was
so funny.
That was hilarious. That cracked me up.
So what else? They did you mentioned Domingo, which is probably, I mean, I don't think it's definitely not as funny as the first one. You know, I didn't think the second sketch of Domingo was that great.
Yeah.
And now the third sketch, it's almost like they're just laughing like this is their way to finally end.
It is. No, it totally is. I saw like one of the first posts on Reddit talking about the anniversary special was like, how long is this wedding going on for? Like, because I think that in the sketch, though, they did say that like, oh, we're celebrating their anniversary, like before their one, it was like something like
they're
that.
They're renewing their vows.
Oh, sorry. Renewing their vows.
And there were some funny lines. It's like, Martin Short said, I'm paying another $70,000 for them to renew their vows.
Also, Pedro Pascal making a little appearance in there. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's cute, but it's not like.
He was so offbeat, though. It was hilarious. Like, he couldn't figure out what he was doing.
But again, if you're watching that show as a fan of Saturday Night Live, you might not have enjoyed the sketch. Maybe you thought it was overkill. It's supposed to be.
That's the point.
During the anniversary special.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be over the top and completely ludicrous.
The other sketch that I did see that I really liked, and I can't ever remember what her character's name is, Kristen Wiig. With like the bald cap and the little hands.
Yeah. Dunice,
yes.
The first time that I saw that sketch, it is pee your pants funny.
Literally. Like, I was pissing myself the first time I saw that.
But then I have watched the subsequent sketches after that, not as funny.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, it gets me every time.
Oh, no. I have watched them back to back to back. And every time I'm like, okay, this is too much now. Like, it's
okay.
You know what's coming. The great thing about that sketch is
I'm Dunice.
It's so funny.
It just comes out of nowhere.
But now that you know that it's coming, it's just not as funny anymore to me. Anyway, and again, on the SNL 50th anniversary special, it's not supposed to. It's just they're just celebrating their most successful sketches. That's it. They're not trying to break any ground here.
No. Yeah, I did want to ask, though, because like I said, I only caught the first half of the special.
Yeah.
Did they end up doing a Debbie Downer?
They did? Yeah.
Oh, see, I am going to have to go back and watch them because that's another one of my absolute favorites.
It was Debbie Downer as a bartender at the 50th anniversary special.
Oh.
It wasn't, again, it's not the best Debbie Downer sketch that they've ever done, but they did have Jimmy Fallon in it, and Robert De Niro was in it.
Okay.
And that's cool to see, but again, right. Not breaking any new ground that they haven't already broke.
No. Debbie Downer is, again, pee your pants funny, though.
Same thing for, they did another Close Encounter sketch. I mean, I've seen so many of those.
Yes. And Meryl Streep was in that.
That was the part that made it interesting.
Yes.
Meryl Streep stole the show with her performance in that sketch.
And that was, apparently, that's the first time that she's ever been on SNL. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, she had never been on. That's her debut.
She was great. I think that she's been on Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short, and there's still rumors going around that she is in a romantic relationship with Martin Short. And the fact that she was there...
With Martin Short?
Yeah. Well, I believe she's divorced. I'd have to Google that to find out. I believe that Meryl Streep is divorced, but Martin Short sadly lost his wife a few years ago. He was with his wife for the longest time, and then she passed away a few years ago.
Oh.
And I believe that those two, well, a lot of people believe that those two found each other. And I think it's great. I just don't know why they haven't come out as being...
Yeah. I mean, those are two very unproblematic, lovable people.
Let's get a hard launch.
Let's get a hard launch, you guys. What's going on?
Let's see. They did another Scared Straight episode. It was just funny to see Will Ferrell screw up in that sketch. They did a Bronx Beat with Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph, and they had Miles Teller show up in that one. Mm. And they brought back Linda Richman, which was a classic 90s sketch with Mike Myers. But, you know, it was just cool to see her.
Yeah, it's cool to see it come back.
What else?
The other one that I did see that I, and you might disagree, because I do love John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those sketches.
I don't love his musical sketches either.
No, like I just don't get it. Like it's,
they're not my favorite. He must really enjoy doing them.
He does, because I remember, I don't know if it was an interview or what, but he was talking about like the first like Bodega one that he had tried to get that on for like so long when he was still, I think, like a writer for SNL, and they wouldn't let him do it. And then he hosted when he became like, you know, more famous independently, and then they let him do it. And I'm, you know, not often am I like, oh, squash the creativity, but I can't get down with that one. It's like the third one I've seen, and I don't like any of them.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Let's see. Just scrolling through some of these. I thought Weekend Update was good. I enjoyed Bill. It was cool for me, and because, again, I appreciate the history of Saturday Night Live, so... I enjoy the nostalgic moments of Bill Murray coming out on stage. It makes me sad to see, you know, how much older he's getting, but I thought he did a nice job with his sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my favorite moment, it might have been, and it surprised me that it was, Adam Sandler's song, the 50-year song.
Okay.
Did you see that one?
I stepped out of the room for that, but I heard it. But I also, like, I know the original of that, like, him, like, singing and, like, being on SNL like that.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it, like, the Hanukkah song?
He's done the Hanukkah song. He's done the Thanksgiving song. He's done...
Just a little before my era, though. Like, I started really getting into SNL probably, like, early 2000s. So, I wasn't quite on board yet.
I'm not the biggest fan of his songs. I like Adam Sandler. He's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I enjoy him. I'm not a fan of the songs, like the Hanukkah song and that stuff. And maybe it's because I've just seen it and heard it so many times. Even working in morning radio, you play those songs on the radio every single year. At least we did, you know, up to a certain point. But Adam came out and he did. I think that's worth watching, to go back and watch that. And again, it's tinged with nostalgia. And it kind of breaks your heart a little bit to watch it. So that might have been my favorite moment, is Adam Sandler's song.
Okay, I'll have to go back and watch it again.
The last thing that I want to mention, and I have not heard this mentioned anywhere else, and this might be really, really inside, because I'm not sure if people are just aware of the history of it, but one of the musical performances was from Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
And... Oh, and she was introduced by Aubrey Plaza.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And Aubrey was wearing a tie-dye shirt. And she got her and her husband got married in 2020 in tie-dye pajamas.
And so that was Aubrey's first public appearance. She did not do the red carpet that night. She was not on the red carpet at all. That was her first public appearance, popping her head up and introducing Miley Cyrus. And she's been somebody who I've wondered about because I do not know. I absolutely do not know. And I don't understand how you recover from such a traumatic event as your spouse committing suicide or anybody in your life committing suicide.
I mean, I didn't see that part of it. Like, I didn't see her introducing Miley. But I have seen like screen grabs and like she looked good. But it also looked like maybe it was a little difficult to be there.
I don't know how you recover from that.
Yeah, I don't know how you do.
And I hope that it's not the end of her career. I hope that she decides to come back. And I can also understand if she decides to never, ever be seen in public ever again.
That was what I was going to say. Is like, I hope that she does come back. I would love to see her come back. But I do hope that she takes the time that she needs, however long that may be, to heal on her own.
The fact that she was on Saturday Night Live is a good sign that she intends to come back someday.
Yeah, and I think it's also a good sign too that, like, I'm sure that she probably has people in her life that were like, hey, just it'll be good, just get out there, which is, you need that in your corner when you're going through something like she's going through.
But what I thought was interesting after that, and nobody has really, I haven't seen anyone really talk about it or mention it, was Miley came out and performed Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, okay, yes.
It's actually a Prince song, but Sinead O'Connor is the one who made that a hit song.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the history of Sinead O'Connor on Saturday Night Live?
Like, I've heard something. Wasn't she like on it, or like she wasn't allowed to be on it, or like there was something going on?
So when she was booked as a musical guest, and this would have been like 1992, 1993.
Yeah.
She performed Nothing Compares to You as her first song. When she came out for her second song, she had told the producers that she wanted to perform this song, which really wasn't a hit, but it was a protest about war.
Okay.
And that's what she did. It was this a cappella rendition of this song that she had. And at the end of it, she took out a picture of the Pope at the time and ripped it in half on live television.
Okay.
Saturday Night Live did not hit the applause sign. So as soon as she was done with the song, because she did it right at the end of the song, like, nobody applauded. The entire studio is silent and they go to commercial.
Oh.
And it was a huge scandal after that. And, you know, I remember seeing it. And also at the time, not that many people know this, I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so within my Catholic community, that was a huge scandal.
Oh, I'm sure.
So what Sinead was doing was protesting the child abuse scandals in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if back then, if those scandals were widely known. I think they were clearly they were going on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody was really talking about them. I don't think anybody had knowledge of it. Or at least it wasn't in the public discourse.
Yeah. I've thought about that with a million different things where it's like, does it just happen more now or are we just seeing it more?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is. We're just seeing it more because even 1992, I mean, like, internet is kind of starting to be a thing, but like barely. Like, it's not like you're not getting your news like that. So unless it's on the front page of the paper or on TV, you're not seeing it. But now it's like we get clips like that on YouTube. We get them on Instagram. We get them on TikTok. We see it like everywhere.
So that was a big, big scandal. Sinead O'Connor was never invited back to Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially banned from Saturday Night Live.
Okay, that's what I had heard then.
And she had received a lot of hate.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't rip up a picture of the Pope, especially if you're in the Catholic community and you're a practicing Catholic. That essentially was the black mark on her career, back then. Looking back on it now, should it have been? I mean, that's maybe a discussion for another day.
I think about this with, again, many different instances. The chicks? Just saying.
And was this Saturday Night Live's way of making an apology without actually making an apology?
She passed away, didn't she?
Yes, a few years ago.
I wonder.
Was this their way of acknowledging that they were wrong? I have no idea. I've heard no one talk about it. I've heard no one discuss it. It's just my own personal wonderment of why did they choose that particular song? Who chose it?
I feel like that would have been a Miley choice. I'm totally not sure. But
well, here's something else. Here's another added wrinkle to that. Miley Cyrus and Sinead O'Connor were engaged in a very public feud in the early 2010s. The noughts, the 20 noughts.
Oh, about
very public. Sinead O'Connor, and I don't know if I have all of it correct, but this was on Twitter, I think mostly on Twitter at the time.
Okay.
Where Sinead was criticizing Miley and asking her to be more of an advocate for mental health. And Sinead was like writing like long public letters to Miley. And Sinead is someone who has struggled with mental illness herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, Sinead was
advocating
for mental illness, but at the same time coming off crazy because she was attacking Miley Cyrus on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Miley was, she was engaging with Sinead, but I don't think as much as Sinead was engaging with her.
I mean, to be fair though, and I am totally behind Sinead's like messaging on that. But me just thinking of myself at that time, Miley and I are about the same age. She was probably like 20, 21, like maybe. I mean, like she was born in 92. So she wasn't that old. She probably was not as, I don't know, into it or like understanding it even. Like her frontal lobe wasn't fully developed.
Okay, so just a quick Google search. It was a 2013 incident where Sinead O'Connor wrote an open letter criticizing Miley for appearing nude in the Wrecking Ball music video. But I do remember it turned into something about mental illness. Sinead O'Connor was speculating that the video was a result of exploitation from the men that were surrounding Miley Cyrus at the time.
Very possible.
I just thought it was an interesting that Miley chose that song because of the history between her and Sinead.
I would actually love to hear her thoughts on it.
Me
now.
Too.
Like, because I think that Miley is genuinely like one of the smartest pop stars out there. I think that girl, same with Gaga. You know that you have made it in the pop world when you are just able to disappear and then come back whenever you so please. Like, that's when you know you are like on top. And I think Miley has mastered that. She keeps her personal life when she wants to, keeps it very under lock. But when she wants everything out there in the open, that's exactly what she, like, I'm convinced that Bangers, that's the era that she was in with that album. Mm-hmm. She knew exactly what she was doing. Dude, she is so smart and she knew exactly what she was doing and it worked. I mean, she completely rebranded. That is, especially when you think back to like the Britney Spears of the world and like think about how hard stars have tried to break out of that Disney persona.
Yeah.
I mean, as crazy as it seemed at the time with Miley doing like the Wrecking Ball stuff, it worked.
I think you're right. I'm skimming through this article and I see where Miley said that. She said that she was offended that Sinead O'Connor accused her of being exploited when she's like, this was my idea.
Yeah.
It was my idea to be nude in this video. And she said, and she was only 20 years old at the time. And
at the same time, though, yeah. I do have to give kudos to Sinead for being like, hey, what's going on? Like, is she okay? Maybe not the best delivery.
I think that it's now public knowledge that Sinead was dealing with her own mental illness issues at the time.
Mm.
So probably not the best way to handle her concerns. Anyway, right. I just thought that was interesting to watch.
That is, and that's really interesting. I did not know that there was such a connection between Sinead and SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that there was something there, but I didn't know the Miley one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway. All right. So we will continue with this podcast and finally reveal to you the legend of F.U. Bob. That's next on...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't read, can't write. Welcome back to Can't Read, Can't Write. On today's episode, we are talking about the legend of F.U. Bob. Now, this is a legend that is very famous in the Kent area. However, I've been told before, and I don't remember who the heck told me, but they said that every college in America, every university has their own F.U. Bob or somebody in the city that is just legendary. Like, everybody knows this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is for you. But for Kent State, that is F.U. Bob. Now, here's what I know about F.U. Bob. And it's not a lot. I don't have a whole lot to go on here. So what I'm going to contribute to this segment is basically just my memory and hearsay.
Okay.
I have no factual information on virtually anything. Okay? So F.U. Bob, I probably discovered him in 1994 or 1995, and I was by myself, and I was driving maybe on, was it Route 59? I think I was driving on Route 59, and I'm driving along, and I see this guy walking on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, he flips me off and starts cursing at me. And I'm driving my car at the time, and I think I turned around to look at him. I'm like, what did he just do?
Who is this guy?
Why would he do that to me?
What's going on? Oh, you took it personal.
And so I remember asking other people about that. I'm like, you know what happened to me today? Some guy just flipped me off, just downtown, just walking. I was just driving by. I don't think I was speeding or anything like that. He just flipped me off and started cursing at me.
That's what F.U. Bob does.
And then I don't remember who it was. I think it was my friend Amy. Amy, I used to work with Amy at WKDD in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that, so I worked 7 to midnight. Amy worked overnights, like midnight to 5:30.
Okay.
And she was also a Kent State grad. But she had already graduated.
Mm-hmm.
But she would, a lot of times, she would come and hang out with me at Kent. And she was a lot of fun and a good friend. I believe she was the one who told me about F.U. Bob. She's like, oh, yeah, that was F.U. Bob.
Oh, and she was just so like matter of fact about it. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, what is his deal? What is F.U. Bob's deal? And she said, I think he has Tourette's syndrome. And he walks around town and he just flips every single car. Every single car that drives by, he flips the car off and will curse obscenities. And I'm like, okay, that sounds about right. That sounds like F.U. Bob. And then she told me something sad. She said, a lot of times, you know, kids on campus who aren't familiar with F.U. Bob, that will happen to them. They'll get flipped off. A lot of times, she said, it's fraternity guys. They'll pull the car over and go confront him, kick his ass.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, that's really sad. That is the only time that I've ever seen F.U. Bob. The one time that I drove by in 94 or 95 is the only time that I've ever had any encounter with F.U. Bob. But I did. And
you
so
did.
It
was you have that story in your back pocket.
My initiation into Kent State lore with F.U. Bob. I know nothing else about Bob. Now, that was a lot of years ago. And so I think that Alyssa is about to give me some very bad news.
I am. I will start out by saying that I never had a personal encounter, not that I can recall, with F.U. Bob.
That's too bad.
I saw him. I saw him, and you know what? This is probably why maybe I never had a personal encounter. F.U. Bob passed away my freshman year in February of 2012.
So you never saw him walking around downtown?
I definitely saw him.
You
but
did.
I never had the FU experience that you had.
Huh.
But so I heard stories and, you know, like I knew the legend.
Were you walking? Were you driving?
I was probably, I don't know. My freshman year, I was probably driving.
Driving, but you're saying that FU Bob, he spared your car. He did not flip you off,
yeah,
as far
no.
as you know.
No, not that I'm aware. I don't remember him ever doing that.
How'd you know it was him then?
I think I had seen him. I don't, honestly, it's hard to remember how I even like learned about him, especially mm-hmm. knowing that I actually didn't realize that he passed away my freshman year until we were about to sit down and do this episode. And we've talked about F.U. Bob, and I've heard about F.U. Bob, and I swear I know I've seen him. But I'm just not sure where. And it would have had to have been like my first semester of college because he passed away shortly into my second semester at Kent.
Okay.
But I'm reading, you know, we mentioned in part one. That
Alyssa's done the research on this.
Yeah.
Like she did a deep dive.
I did. And it really bummed me out.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. It's going to get a little sad from here.
Okay.
But going through this Cleveland.com article.
Cleveland.com wrote about F.U. Bob.
Yep. Yep.
There's
a whole
write-up.
Yep. There's a whole write-up after he passed away. It's if you want to look at it yourself, it's honestly a really good read.
I thought you were going to say like the Daily Kent Stater or.
Weirdly enough, I cannot find anything on the Kent Stater about it. I found a write-up with Belt Magazine that actually has a picture of F.U. Bob. And then I found like a student's. What is this? WordPress. And then the Cleveland.com article. So, yeah, there's not really that much info out there that I can find about F.U. Bob, but yes, he did pass away February 5th, 2012. His real name was Robert E. Wood.
His name was really Bob.
His name was really Bob.
Good to know.
And as you mentioned, he is known for, you know, standing at intersections, holding his middle finger up to the world.
Yes.
And as you had mentioned, that your coworker that also went to Kent was like, I don't know if he has like Tourette's
yeah.
or, you know, what it is. It actually mentions in this article, the woman that wrote it, her name is Regina Brett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she wrote in here.
She's a famous columnist for the, well, Plain Dealer. And
yeah,
I guess
for
Cleveland.
The Plain Dealer. Yeah. So it was still 2012. The Plain Dealer was still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, though, so she writes, when I lived in Kent for 10 years, people wanted to know what was wrong with him. Was his brain damaged from drugs? Did he have Tourette's syndrome? No one knows. A Kent social services worker mentioned that Robert came for hot meals. He died of a heart attack at 68. But it actually does seem like he was really well loved, which makes me really happy. His funeral service was packed, like over 200 people.
No kidding.
Yeah. It packed a church in Kent after his passing. And he was really smart. This is what I didn't know. He was really freaking smart. Did you know he had a master's?
No, I did not.
He had a master's degree in painting from Kent State.
No, I know nothing about him. Like what you're telling me, everything you're telling me right now is new information for me. Like, this is fascinating. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I was really fascinated reading this article. It's my first time really diving into the story of F.U. Bob. And, you know, even while I wasn't at Kent for very much of the same time while Bob was, I do wish that I wish I had known this while I was there.
You wish that he would have flipped you off?
I do, because honestly, like, I'm reading this article and the main takeaway that I'm seeing is that the people that befriended Robert and managed to get past that, the F.U. Bob part of it, is that he really was like a very kind soul and really, really smart. She writes also in this Cleveland.com article that he seemed to be an expert on everything mm-hmm. from philosophy to politics, music, film, art, history, mythology, health. He lived in Kent for over 50 years and he didn't consider himself a townie. He considered himself a tourist. He always saw the world he lived in as brand new.
It's amazing how they found out this information. Like, how do you get that past the initial? Because you say he's a very kind soul, but how would you know that unless you really made the effort to spend any time with him?
Like, what I've read, I'm not sure if it's in this article or one of the other ones, is that if you had the time to chip away at that F.U. Bob part and just, again, we don't know what it was. We don't know if it's mental yeah. illness. We don't know if it's something else. But if you had the compassion to get past it and yeah. try to be a human with him, he actually was very kind. And also, what else did I want to mention in here? There was another really beautiful part that she had. Oh, it was this. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. I like literally just lost it.
It's all right. It's a podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wanted to mention this because I just felt like it was a really, really sweet way to put it. Mm-hmm. His greatest gift wasn't his art. It was how he made peace with a world that he didn't fit.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm glad he had some peace.
I know. I would have loved to have like gotten to actually talk to F.U. Bob and like get more of his story. I think about that sometimes, like when I see, you know, even just people on the street that are out on their luck for mm-hmm. whatever reason. I want to know their story.
Yeah,
everybody has one. And I really wish that I would have been able to get a deeper dive on F.U. Bob's story when he was still around.
I don't know where he lived.
I don't either.
He walked around town constantly, though.
He did.
Did he have a job? I mean, we don't know. He had a master's degree. He
yeah.
must have been competent enough to be able to get through schooling and get a master's degree.
But I mean, again,
they're not just going to hand those things out.
Mental illness doesn't just.
That's true.
You know,
it might have come later in life.
It can come at all different times.
Right.
And on top of that, though, too, you know, what I'm really curious about also is that I feel like if there's anybody that I probably would be able to put money was there for May 4th, 1970, probably F.U. Bob. Would have loved to get his recounting.
Maybe.
But for now, all we have is the lore. That's all we have. You know what, though? If somebody writes a book about F.U. Bob, which that wouldn't surprise me. If that might already be out there. If somebody writes a book, I'm reading it.
Sounds like a good movie.
I'm going to cry. Like, I will cry Because this is tugging at my heartstrings a lot more than I think I anticipated it would.
Doesn't it seem like an Oscar-winning performance?
It really does.
That would win someone like a movie.
I have so many questions. Like he got his master's in painting.
Yeah.
I want to see some of those. I want to see those paintings. I want to see some of his art.
I think this is a role for maybe Kieran Culkin or somebody like that.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I could see that with the beard.
This is an Oscar-winning movie right here. F you, Bob.
Somebody pick it up. We're putting it out on a silver platter for you.
There you go. The legend of F you, Bob. I have learned something today. It has been a lot of years, but I finally have closure on F you, Bob.
We have closure, and F you, Bob, his legacy continues. The man, the myth, the legend.
Thank you, F you, Bob. We'll go back to go effing ourselves.
In your honor, just for you.